All right, Chevra, good evening. Let's begin. So we're picking up tonight the Mirtz Hashem on page 27. So if you remember again, 2 weeks, we didn't have shir last week, but 2 weeks ago when we were learning the Piyajetzna, so we began Os Yud Aleph. And Kidarko Bakodesh, the Piyajetzna is trying. Well, so remember again, at the end of the day, right, if you were to frame what's the entire mission of the Piyajetzna, what's his mission? In this Sefer, what's his mission? To transform us from what? Mm-hmm. From Avadim into Banim. Good. From servants into sons. That's the entire Avoda. So remember again, the Piyajetzna and Os Yud Aleph highlighted the idea. I can't sit next to two therapists. It's very scary for me. You're going to be analyzing. I'm going to be analyzing everything. All right, good.
It helped that I'm a specialist.
Thank you. I could probably use that more, actually.
Is it intervention?
It's been years coming, by the way. Okay, good. So remember again, an Os Yud Aleph. Mir, they're extra swarm over there also. I didn't make copies tonight, but they're swarm. So we'll see if you remember again. So in Os Yud Aleph, the Piaget was speaking to us about feelings, and speaking really and emotions, and speaking about the idea that often feelings and emotions are how the neshama communicates with us. And the challenge in life is that sometimes we don't allow ourselves to feel. Right? We have an experience, an emotional experience, and then what happens? I hear it, but I choose not to listen to it. Right? And I don't allow myself. What the Piaget essentially says is, I don't allow myself to feel my feelings. So they come, they go. Remember again the example that Piaget gave. The example that the Piaget gave was that sometimes, again, you know, if you could imagine that emotions are this deep river, and sometimes all we do is we just wade into the shallow waters, because we're, again, as we saw in Os Yud Aleph, we're afraid to let ourselves feel, because if we let ourselves feel, we might discover all kinds of things about ourselves, and we might discover more Kedusha that we have, and if I discover more Kedusha, that becomes a Mechayiv, that obligates me to do things differently in life. So therefore, often, says the Piaget, what do? We just wall off our feelings. I just wall it off. I pretend like I don't feel. And in the moment that I'm beginning to feel something, I stop it. I don't want it to get too intense. And people do this in all different ways, right? Some people do it with humor, right? Everything's a joke, right? Some people do it with cynicism and sarcasm. Just, again, and I will say, but you know, when you see someone who always has to crack a joke and always has to become cynical and sarcasm, that's actually a person who is sitting on a wellspring of emotion. They're just like a scared little child, unwilling to wade into it. Because if I allow myself to feel it, then there's no telling what could happen. So instead, we wall it off. And we all wall it off. Not we all. Many of us wall it off in different ways. So we're continuing on that theme. The Piyajetzna continues on the last paragraph on page 27. I will say tonight is really an incredibly exceptional piece. So the Piyajetzna writes, Lizos. So first of all, before we go on, therefore the Piyajetzna says, so what's the goal of the Jew? The goal of the Jew is that when you feel something, what do you have to do? What do you have to allow yourself to experience it? Right? Don't shut it down. Allow yourself to feel it. Allow yourself to experience it. So the Piyajetzna says, Lizos, Masheres umachrezes chavarasinu l'chol echa mechavrenu. So we'll say, this is what we're calling out to every member of the Chevra. Heve odea lihistakel. Know how to look inside of yourself. And whenever something happens inside of you or outside of you, because we'll say what we're going to really see, what the Piaget is going to be describing over here. Oh, first of all, I forgot to thank Steve. Who are our sponsors for tonight? Who's it on the chat?
Steve. In memory of his, in honor of his mother's yahrzeit, which is
your. I just want to make sure that it would be. Not till.
We have shir next to goes, Amir Tzashem. Bashach, the neshama should have an aliyah, Amir Tzashem, the family in Nechama. Shkoach. And of course, a very special thank you to Jonas and Kaplan, who prepared the beautiful spread for tonight. And Chevy, you should just know a very special thank you to Steve Golaskov. Steve makes sure, I have the easy part of this job. I just have to show up and teach Torah. Steve has the hard part of this job, which is coordinating that there's food, that there's mashka, that it doesn't run out, that people are happy, that it has to be the right level of unhealthiness, you know, in every single show. It's very important. So Mamish, like, already comes Tuesday, Steve is already thinking about this show. So, however, just know, things really never happen on their own. There's usually, there's a Steve who's driving everything from behind the scenes. So, Shkoyach.
There's one more sponsor, Chet Kaplan, in memory of Yechiel Gershon Ben Avin Yitzhak, his grandfather, Beis Shvat, and Tzvi David Ben Seal, is that right? His great uncle on Zion Shvat.
Shkoyach, everyone. Incredible. How we left the building. So the Piagetna says this, right, that's true. So the Piagetna says this follows. He says, V'ein histaklus re'iya al dar nitzal bilvad. So we'll say the Piagetna says, we have to become people who have an awareness. Who know how to look at things. What do you have to look at? So, of course, it goes without saying that you have to look at what's happening outside of you. But just as important as looking on at what's going on outside of you is what? What's going on inside of you? What's happening inside of me? Do I have an awareness of the feelings of that I'm experiencing? Am I a self-aware enough person to know what is going on? He says, and it's not just enough even to look. In other words, a person could say, sure, I'm self-aware. I'm feeling happy right now. Okay, that's not the self-awareness that Piagetna is describing. What is he describing? If you're feeling happy, what does the Piagetna say? What do I need to do? What's the next step? So first, excellent daven, beautiful. I have to ride the wave of that emotion. But now what he's also discussing over here is, so why do you feel happy? In other words, remember, you know, as you saw in the last year, the Piagetna said that feelings, that emotions, they stem from the neshama. Feelings and emotions are the way that the neshama communicates with me about what's going on, right? The neshama doesn't talk. The neshama communicates through feelings. So when I feel happy, that's my neshama communicating with me. I feel unsettled. I feel sad. I feel depressed. That's the neshama communicating with me as well. But the only way you know what the neshama is saying is if you take the time to try to intuit, to try to understand what is the message. Rak min leido shemolidim otsiyem davar shielan estakabo. Tzuras hadavar, anu otsiyem olidim, so skip actually a little bit. He says, v'lo hargashos ketanos biva, last two lines, ovros bo, v'ne'evdos mito chose yicholes haskalos, rak gam, turn the page, mitzvos shlemos, ovaros lo kluuma shebo. So I say, this is incredible. The Piagetna says, you know, it will say people have different emotional states, right? Like if you can imagine, what's the name of the heart monitor?
EKG.
EKG, right? So I will say, so the same way like there's an EKG, right? It measures the heartbeats. So there's also like an emotional EKG. In other words, so there are times in life where my emotions are remaining at like a pretty base. Like, oh, there's a little up, there's a little down. So sometimes in those type of situations, it's easy to kind of not look into why the way I'm feeling a certain way, because there's no major departure. In other words, it's kind of baseline. On the other hand, the Piagetna says sometimes, right, there are massive peaks and massive valleys in the way that I'm feeling emotionally. And the Piagetna says we never take the time to think about that. And we never take the time to analyze that. And the Piagetna says, understand what that is. You know what that's like? That's like getting a piece of mail and not opening it. Right? Imagine a piece of mail that was marked very important. Right? You get in the mail, and imagine just leaving it on your counter for weeks on ends. I'm assuming it's not a bill, right? Right? So imagine you just leave it. No one would do that. It says important. Of course, I have to open it to see what's going on. Piagetna says that sometimes the neshama delivers these major, important, emotional messages, but I don't check the mail. I don't open the envelope. I just don't stop to think and to understand why is it that I'm feeling this way. He goes on, he says, Hirgish ma bikirbo v'efshalo l'yisrakes ul'tzayu l'adas ma hirgish u'bamash shone hargashosu b'lel yom kippurim mirash shana u'milal pesach u'kidome. Now, let's say, do we think about the fact that, let's say, all of us, this is all of us, we feel one way on the night of Yom Kippur, a different way on the night of Rosh Hashanah, and still a different way on the night of the Seder. Why is that? Why is that? Like, what's the pshat with those differences in feelings? What is it? And of course, there's not an answer, but the answer is because my neshama is telegraphing something different in each of those major moments. But if I never take the time to just think about what the message is, it comes and it goes. Lachin. Anu masirim. There was a little page that says, therefore, we are warning, so to speak. Lamed es atzmicha lehistakel. They will say, this is such a great line. Lamed es atzmicha lehistakel. Teach yourself to look. Teach yourself to look. Or better stated also, teach yourself to investigate. When you feel a certain way, see, I will say, all kidding aside, right? People think that this is just like the purview of therapists, right? That therapists are there to help you understand why you feel this way. That is true. That is true. But with all deference, you also could sometimes do that on your own. In other words, it's interesting. In the world of feelings, it's almost like for some reason, like the Piaget said, because we wall it off, we think that we can't figure out emotional things on our own. So therefore, by definition, like, we outsource the interpretation of emotion to professionals, which of course sometimes you have to do. And often, again, sometimes people outside of me are able to see things about me that I can't see about myself. That's 100% true. But there's a lot of circumstances in life where I just lamad es atzmucha lehistakel. Are you looking? Are you looking? You felt happy today? You felt happy today? So why? Why? Wait, why do you think that is? What is it? And again, I'm both saying, wouldn't it be just such a fascinating exercise that when you feel a certain way, to kind of analyze, where is that coming from? What is that source of happiness coming from? What is that source of sadness? Where is it emanating from? And to be able to understand what it is in life that drives me to feel a certain way, and on a deeper level, to be able to hear what the neshama is dispatching to me. And something amazing happens, which is, when I look, this is incredible, when I look for the roots of my emotional experience, you know what I'm really looking for? I'm looking for Hashem. Nebosa, just follow this progression. According to the Piagetzna, where does emotion come from? The neshama. Right? Emotion is the language of the neshama. The neshama dispatches emotions, sends it to the body. Now, as we spoke about the last year, sometimes the body totally corrupts the message of the emotion, but that's where it comes from. Nebosa, what's the neshama? What's the neshama? Like the excellent. The Balatanya says, Chelek Eloka Mima'al Mamish. It's a spark. It's a piece of the Ribono Shel Olam. So Rabbi say, so when I investigate emotion, I'm really trying to find my neshama. And when I'm trying to find my neshama, what I'm really trying to do is find the Ribono Shel Olam. That's what's happening. So the Piyajetzna says, the pursuit of understanding why I feel the way that I feel is in reality a search for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eifo Timsehu. So you'll say, where will you find God? Bicha. Where do you find the Kodesh Baruch Hu? It's very simple. People spend their lives looking for God. You don't have to look very far. God's in you. You want to find the Kodesh Baruch Hu? Just look inside. Just look inward. Just introspect. Hashem is in me, and Hashem is all around me. So this is incredible. In order to say this is so... And sometimes you hear these words of the Piagetzna, and you wonder like what the Piagetzna would say in 2023. The Piagetzna said... So what do you have to do in order to be able to connect with the emotion, connect with your neshama, connect with the kashbarach? What do you need to do? Slow down. Look at Lashon HaRosh. Aval tach lezu. If you really want to understand the source of emotion, you want to understand the message of the neshama, you want to find that kadosh baruch hu. Tzarich ata lehisrachik min amehiros herchik. You have to distance yourself from the fast nature, the fast pace of life. You gotta slow it down. You have to slow it down. I will say, you know, you read something like this, and the Piaget was writing this again in the 20s. Right? Can you imagine, like today, you know, there's Rabbi Dr. Abraham Tversky's Yechizadik Levracha, quotes that, and he had a whole piece about multitasking, and he quoted Rav Mendel of Rimenov. Rav Mendel of Rimenov lamented the day that they paved the roads. Right? Why? So the Rebbe said, Rav Mendel of Rimenov said, because before they paved the road, what would happen? You would travel by day, then the sun would go down. What would occur? You'd have to check into an inn. And what would you do at the inn? You'd eat dinner. And what else would you do? You would talk with people. Because there are people, other people in the inn. And he said, you'd fabreng a little bit, make a lechayim, share some Torah. You'd daven ma'ariv. And then what would you do? You went to sleep. So the Rebbe said, now that they paved the road, people are going to travel by day and by night, and no one's going to have time for anything. So Rabbi Tversky writes, can you imagine if Mendel of Rimenov were here today? I will say, you know, I thought about this, like, you know, to me, you know, this became like most acute, which sounds serious. And so I'll say, so, you know, when it comes to most acute, is like, you know, like I see like the iWatch. Like the iWatch. I said, iWatch is so symptomatic. It's great, by the way. Don't get me wrong, right? but it's so symptomatic. It's so symptomatic of like of what becomes like so challenging in society. Okay, so have a phone, right? We all have a phone, and we know like it's an isayon to stay off your phone. Like it is, like which is ridiculous, which is absolutely ridiculous. But like for many of us, like I can't go 2 minutes, 3 minutes without just like checking, right? As if like somebody's sending me like the nuclear launch codes, you know? By the way, which might be in your email box, considering all of the classified documents that are everywhere. Check your spam. It may actually be there. And I say, so what's the girl? So now what happens? Now, I would say, it's not enough that it's on your phone. It's not enough. Because if your phone is not within arm's reach, right? Boom. It's right here. It's right here. I don't know if it's that your phone's not in arm reach. It's easier to go like this, and it's like this. So, and again, of course, again, I'm not Amish. Does technology have its? Of course, but I will say, but it is interesting to see that the pace of our lives is getting faster and faster and faster. And it's just important to point out that as the pace increases, our detachment from the self becomes more amplified, right? The more I'm moving, the more I'm doing, the faster the pace, I may be actually accomplishing more things. It's actually quite possible. I may be. But at the end of the day, I know myself less and less. And we know this. We know this to be true. We know this absolutely to be true. And the Piaget writes, you want to go ahead and understand your neshama. You want to understand the language of emotion. You want to find Hashem. Pump the brakes. You're going to have to slow it down. Because the process of introspection and the process of understanding the language of emotion requires time. Requires thought. Again, not hours on end sitting in a quiet forest. But it does require, I will say, think about it just a moment. When was the last time you had an emotional high? Either sadness or happiness. And like you took a step back and you said, okay, let me analyze why am I feeling this way? I don't know. Like, unless like you have to because you're facing like a concrete problem or you're with a professional is helping you work through this. We don't do this because of the pace of life. Just because of the pace. But yet, the Rebbe says something amazing. Look what he writes. Ki ein hamahir mitbonei. Oh, right. Ki ein hamahir mitbonei. Right? Ultimately, someone who is always rushing. Someone who's in perpetual motion is not contemplative. Well, say, isn't that incredible? Is not contemplative. I'll say, you know, even if you think about it, it used to be, well, whatever, okay, I'll give it enough mashalim. Right? So I'll say, but like, even in the car, I'm not such an old person. And I will say, but I will tell you, like, okay, most of you are young here, but like, I remember, even like, when you first got your driver's license, before CDs, certainly again, no podcast, nothing like that. There was even a concept that like in the car, and certainly no Bluetooth, you know, nothing, right? What did you do in the car?
Tape deck.
Right? Tape deck, 8-track. Also something else.
Push radio.
It was quiet. Yeah. It was quiet. Yeah, never. I don't know. I had quiet time. Yeah, I don't know. All right. All right, let me reframe it. If you weren't listening to the radio, right? You were listening to the radio, right? Again, even not all cars came with tape decks or cassettes or everything like that. So Lamaise, again, there was. I remember as a kid. Not that I'm not like I wasn't a contemplative teenager, but you know, again, but there's definitely times where it was just quiet. People say, think about when was the last time you were in your car and it was quiet? It was quiet. It was quiet. Now forget about it. Now Baruch Hashem, you could actually answer all of your WhatsApps, your text messages, your emails while you're driving. While you're driving. No, I don't even mean like this. I mean just, you know, just verbally.
Even
Dafyomi you could do. Right? Which again, listen, I want to be clear. Is it beautiful and is it wonderful? Of course. It's fantastic. I'm just pointing out that this is our challenge, right? The Piagetsna says, see, let's say one of the major reasons, I just want to point out, we've been doing this Sefer now for a couple of months. Right? And I think we'd all agree that it's absolutely transformative in every single way. But yet, I would also say that a lot of times we come out of a shir and we're like, I feel that my neshama knows what the Piagetsna is saying, but I don't really understand what the Piagetsna is saying. Right? My heart, my neshama understands it, my mind doesn't. I've also said, there's a very good reason for that. Because everything the Piagetsna is writing is predicated on being a thoughtful and contemplative person. And I will say, if we're honest, most of us are not thoughtful and contemplative people. I mean, we're thoughtful. In other words, I don't mean like thoughtful, like I'm kind, like I'm not going to hurt someone's feelings, but I mean like thoughtful in terms of that I'm the kind of person that retreats into myself for some amount of time each day, his boninus, his bodidus, to really think about what I'm doing, who I'm doing, and again, and maybe you'll say, well, you do it now, chances are, if you say you do it now, you're probably retired, right? Right? But Lamaisa, right? But Lamaisa, which is great, which is fantastic, right? But it's not a challenge when you're retired. I mean, it is a challenge because you can occupy yourself. But I can't wait to do things till I'm retired. I also have to do it now in life. So part of why we also have difficulty wrapping our head around this stuff is because it requires us to be contemplative people. To be contemplative people requires us to slow down. Slowing down, no, just the opposite, right? I'm ramping up. Right? I'm taking on more. I'm doing more. I'm accomplishing more, which in certain respects is beautiful. But there's this hole. There's this hole in my life that I could only fill, says the Piagetsna, if I slow it down and contemplate. He gives an example of this. So listen to this. He says, but those lines, well, I'll say those lines are incredible. He says, Ki ein hamahir misbonein. If you live life constantly in the fast lane, there is no time for introspection. And if there's no time for introspection, you don't know your neshama. And if you don't know your neshama, you don't know the language of emotion. And if you don't know the language of, I should say, if you don't slow down, you don't know the language of emotion. If you don't know the language of emotion, you don't know your neshama. And if you don't know your neshama, guess who else you don't know? You don't know the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yes?
One thing I don't recall, maybe he addressed this. Is every emotion real? For example, not every emotion is good.
Correct. But every emotion comes from something.
But how do you know, or how does he told us which emotions you're doing? For example, say take sadness. So a person feels an emotion of sadness. But if he internalizes that sadness, then maybe he won't be able to continue going along with his life.
100%.
Or anger.
We're going to see all of this. But the most basic answer is, the first step is stop to think why you're feeling this way. That's in other words, identify the root. No, Nehemiah, how many times does it happen in life? I have this all the time. I'm upset about something. If I catch myself and spend 30 seconds of introspection and then say, okay, why am I upset? Why am I upset? What happens 9 times out of 10? 9 times out of 10, I realize, you know what? This is foolish. This is just foolish. This doesn't make any sense. I'm about to literally, again, derail the rest of my day, probably get angry at a whole bunch of other people, be brigus, it's going to come out in all negative ways. And that's all that's the starting point. Just like, okay, you're feeling it. Before we get into, is it real? Is it not real? Is it good? Is it not good? Stop. Where is this coming from? Where is this coming from? So sometimes it's narishkeit. It's bad. It's not a good emotion. It's false. It's hevel. It's sheker. But sometimes it's the neshama talking to me. But I'll never know how to be mafchin those things if I don't stop and introspect. Look at the mashal he gives. Now, by the way, he does give another mashal. He said, she said before the mashal, Aval gam yishar ben afshecha shelo tagia b'misuno secha ad kitzei gvula velo siga ba'atzos va'atzos. So we'll listen to this. So here the Piaget says, you know, you need to slow down, but don't slow down too much. Don't slow down too much. So I'll say, isn't this an incredible idea, right? Slow down, but not too much. Why? What happens if you slow down too much? I'll say, what happens? Number one, he says, you become lazy. Number two, he says, you fall into the clutches of atzvos, of sadness. Isn't that profound? Because if you slow down too much, then I stop accomplishing as much as I can. I will say, more often than not, in the Piagetsna's view, we're going to see, where does sadness come from? Right, if we look at emotion as the language of the soul, so where does sadness come from? If I'm honest, sadness comes from underachievement. Sadness comes from underachievement. And I will say, it's true, by the way, right? Think about it. One of the moments when you're happiest in life, we spoke about this last year, it's not when you're on vacation, right? Vacation is very nice. But most of us, usually again, you know, whether it takes you a couple of hours or a couple of days, everyone has that moment where, how do they feel on vacation? Right, I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go home. Right, like I said, some people it's a couple of hours. Some people they don't even get to where the destination and they're ready to turn around. Other people, whatever. But the mice, that's what I'm happiest when, like, I have a productive day, when I feel like I'm performing, when I feel like I'm firing on all cylinders. Like I am working. That's when I feel happy. Conversely, says the Piagetsna, if I slow down too much, and as a result of slowing down, I underperform, that creates atzvos. That creates a sense of sadness. And I will say, he gives a tremendous mashal over here. So now let's illustrate this concept, right? So now we understand the framework that the Piagetsna is framing for us. Let's plug it in now to a real life example of where there's a dramatic emotional experience that's happening, but I may or may not be aware of it. So I will say, look at this. Middle of page 28. Lamashal. Paragraph that starts Lamashal. Lamashal. Get ready for this. Ata yoshev besuda shlishis b'shabis b'chavras chasidim. You're sitting at Shalashudis with a group of chasidim. Because there's no other way to have Shalashudis than with a group of chasidim, right? Right? You're having, all of us, we're all chasidim. We've learned the Piagetsna. We're chasidim the Piagetsna. What's the Shaila? I will say, so again, I'm sitting on Shabbos with a group of chasidim. Shalashudis. Now look what he writes. Hayim eina tamagish mu'uma as, tell me, is it possible to go through a Shalashudis and not feel something? Right? Is it possible not to feel something? Ha tzadikim amru. So the Rebbe writes over here, the tzadikim said, Sheshas shalashudis, hi asho yofa, sha achas b'tshuva maisa tova ba'olam hazeh, mikol chaye olam. What's that? The Gemara says that yofa sha achas b'tshuva maisa tovim, 1 hour, one or one moment of in this world of tshuva and good deeds is better than an eternity in olam haba, in the world to come. I will say, what's the one moment, the Shah Achas of Tshuva and Maisim Tovim, the Piagetsna says, Shalashudis. Shalashudis is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's the Holy of the Holies of the week. He says, he quotes over here again, it's Fadlon Sheshamati Shamagim Mikoshnitz, Zatzal Omer. So let's listen to this. The Koshnitz Shamagit said, Bishalosh Sudos, Shebebechinos, Tzadikim Yoshvim, Va'atarasehim Berasheim, Venenim Mizivashchina. I will say, what happens during, this is so beautiful. What happens during Shalashudis? I'm doing Shalashudis. It's as if the tzaddikim are sitting, their crowns are on their head, and they are benefiting from the divine presence. I will say, where is that phrase from? That's from the Rambam, Hilchos Tshuva, that speaks about Olam Haba. That's how the Rambam describes Olam Haba. Tzaddikim Yoshvin, the tzaddikim are sitting around the Shekhinah, Vatarosein Berashayim, their crowns of their good deeds are on their head. They derive benefit from the Shekhinah. So the Kajnetzer Magid takes the wording of the Rambam and he says, you want to know where you could experience this in this world? Shalashudis. Shalashudis is the moment of incredible closeness and intimacy with Hashem. The Ata, Ha'incha Margish Mu'uma. Look at Piagetsna says, Doggy, does tell me. Do you feel anything during Shalashudis? Do you feel it? Do you feel this description? There's a moment, Shalashudis is a moment that is holier and better than eternal life in the world to come. And the Piagetsna says, somehow what? Somehow, I don't even feel it. Somehow, I don't feel it. Somehow, it just goes by, and I don't even experience it. Betach. So I'll say, so now what happens? So now I know what Shalashudis is. I know that Shalosh Hodis is Olam Haba. I know that Shalosh Hodis is, right? Literally, again, Yafa, it's a Shah Achas B'tshuva Maisim Tovin. So now, but I don't really feel it. So what happens? So it's okay. Because the Yetzer Hara comes along and says, don't worry about it. Of course you don't feel it. Who are you? You think you're the Kashnitzer Magid, right? You think you're a tzaddik? You think you're a Rebbe? You think you're someone special? You're just a regular guy. So the most you're going to feel during Shalosh Hodis is indigestion, right? That's right. That's the most, right? That's the most you can have Shalosh Hodis, right? You're not going to feel anything. You're not going to feel anything. You're not going to get anything because after all, you're not a tzaddik. You're not the Kashnitzer Magid. Aval kvar marti lecha, shetshuva kazos tshuva yitzar shebechai. So the Bijensa says, but that's just the Yitzhar trying to derail me. You're right, I'm not the Kashnitzer Magid. I'm not the Kashnitzer Magid. But I'm a Hele Gitaira Yid. I'm a special Jew. I'm a special holy Jew. So I might not be the Kashnitzer Magid, but I'm absolutely capable of feeling these things during Shalosh Hodis. Hashem Yisparach Malchusa V'Kama Shalom V'Emet Tzadikim Zichus Yagin Alei Hergishu V'Yis'an Go Miktushasi Yisparach V'Mechinas Reisha Ato al koponim at bechinas akavayim. Oh, akavayim da akavayim the kedusha targish. Shabbos said, you're right. Maybe the Kashnitzer Magid felt the kedusha of Shalosh Hodis in his entire body. So I'm not the Kashnitzer Magid. But if I can't feel it in my entire body, at least I can feel it where? In my heel. I can feel it in my pinky toe. I can feel it a little bit. I can feel it. In other words, I'm capable of feeling something. Gamata margish, aval betach. Gam atamagish b'cha es ha-shalosh su'udos. But one thing is clear, the Piaget says, you can feel shalosh of this. You can feel it. You can feel it if you want to feel it. Gam libcha u'mocha misnanim mizdazim mikol rama galgal gal gole ha-merkava sh'orim d'rach na'afshcha. Rabbo said, this is incredible. Listen to these words. He says, you know what happens in shalosh of this? The chariot of the Ribono Shel Olam is literally riding through my neshama. So the Piaget says, Who cannot shake? Not shake out of fear. Not shake out of fear. Shake out of awe and out of love and out of appreciation that the chariot of the Ribono Shel Olam is literally riding through my soul. Who doesn't hear the wheels of that chariot turning? Rak she'inat ha'yachol l'isboni l'istakel. They'll say, what's the problem? The problem is not with the experience. The problem is with my unwillingness to connect with the experience. In other words, here what the Piaget is describing over here, and this is such a simple example. This is just Shalosh Hodis. We'll say we have Shalosh Hodis every single week. Every single week. We'll say, so the Piaget says, you have the event every week, but do you allow yourself to feel the experience each and every week? Do you know what's going on? And do you allow yourself to tap into it? V'aram v'arash ovdim v'nifsadim b'cho? And yet a whole Shalosh Hodis could go by. And what happens? I'm not even cognizant of all of the incredible and overwhelming things that are happening right inside of my neshama. Kol ish. Tzarech leistakel kifi matzavo. V'astaklis pshutu b'Shalosh Hodis l'mashal ikach. Avra alecha ha-shabbos. I want to point out, this is not a shir on Shalosh Hodis. The Piagetzna is just using Shalosh Hodis as an example of how sometimes we just fail to connect with the deeper emotional dimension of the things that are happening around us. What is Shalosh Hodis, says the Piagetzna? It's Sadikim Yoshvim, Va'atarosem Barashehem, Venenem Mizivashkina. It's the chariot of the Ribono Shel Olam riding right through my neshama. So the Piaget says, okay, maybe you're not feeling all of that. Okay, could be, maybe you're not feeling all of that. The Piaget says, however, there's still a basic level. Kol ish, tzarech leistakel kafi matzavo. Every person has to connect with the emotional dynamic of Shalosh Hodis in accordance with his own level. For example, v'astaklis pshutu b'Shalosh Hodis l'mashal ikach. What's the level of simple connection with Shalosh Hodis? Simple connection. Avra lecha Shabbos. Most of the time Shalosh Hodis comes, Shabbos is almost over. Yom kulo shel kiddusha. What's happened over Shabbos? An entire day of kiddusha. Min hashamayim kitshu oscha. So we'll say again, from the heavens, a layer of sanctity has been conferred upon me. V'gam ata kiddashtes atzmucha b'yom zeh. And I've sanctified myself over Shabbos. We'll say page 29. Have I sanctified myself on Shabbos? Have I done that? Listen to this. Lo asakta b'mischarecha. First of all, you didn't go to work. You didn't go to work. You didn't go to the office. Lo tayalta b'shugim rechovos. You didn't go to the store. Right? You didn't go to the mall. Right? Lo ikaltas roshecha. You did not engage in frivolous behavior. Hopefully. Right? So lo ikaltas roshecha. Yashavtis bodidus benecho ben konecha. Shaul says, it's pretty clear, the Piagetna Shabbos was maybe a little bit different than ours. Right? Shaul says, so again, the Piagetna says, you carved out time for introspection. You carved out time to be alone with yourself. And with your friends, you learn Torah, you learn Chasidus. I cleansed myself from any dust and dirt which accumulated on me over the course of the week. So again, the Piaget is just describing over here, just like de facto, what do I accomplish on Shabbos? First, I think about this, what have I accomplished over Shabbos? I haven't gone to work for a day. Right? I've distanced myself from many of those mundane weekly activities. I haven't gone to the mall, to the marketplace, to the store. Right? Hopefully I've carved out a little bit of time to introspect. I've learned Torah, hopefully a little bit, myself, my friends. I've distanced myself from all of the negative things I do during the week that bring me down. We'll say what happens over Shabbos. Every moment that Shabbos goes by, I feel myself becoming holier and holier. Omin madregas kedusha al madregas yoser kedusha, and from one level of holiness to another level of holiness. Ad shekirafta shalashudis morom kito shal Shabbos rava deravin sudahi migimol suudos. So now he's talking about, even if you don't feel the chariots of God running through your soul, right? And even if you don't feel like you're a tzaddik sitting, right, benefiting, Shabbos by definition has a cathartic effect on us simply because we abstain from doing certain everyday mundane things. And I bolster myself with holiness by engaging in some level of introspection and growth. The Rebbe goes on, he says, Aval margish ata shekvar in makam v'amatzav ata lisboa bebasar v'dogim. Rak lechapes esakel mistater b'shafir chivayon v'lisboa mizivyov. So we'll say this is beautiful. Until the point that I come to Shalashudis, everything comes to an apex, to a zenith at Shalashudis. Because what happens at Shalashudis? We'll say, I'm hungry. I'm hungry at Shalashudis. But I'm not hungry, says the Piagetna, for meat. I'm not hungry for fish. What am I hungry for? I'm hungry. Egg salad, right? Egg salad. Yeah. Thank you. Right. L'rav l'lechem v'lotzom alayim kim nishmas derashim. What am I hungry for? I'm hungry. You're lucky you were sitting there. And said that, by the way. If you were sitting over here, would have been like a mother's, like a. So what happens? Says the Piagetna, I'm hungry for the Ribbono Shel. I'm hungry for Hashem. I'm doing Shabbos. By the time I get to Shalashudis, I'm almost a day into Shabbos. I'm a different person. By the way, I want to point out, this is true, even if at the end of the day, I didn't do some of the dynamic things that Piagetna described. Just simply, I haven't gone to work. I spent a little bit more time davening. I was in shul. I was with my friends. And we'll say, again, you know the power of making l'chaim with another Jew, of celebrating Shabbos with another Jew, of spending time with your family. All of these things are meaningful things that lift me up higher and higher to the point that I get to Shalashudis and I'm a different person. The kind of person who's not yearning for meat and for fish, but the kind of person who's yearning for closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll say, now listen to this. V'yoshev atem chavirecha gam kevak shepenei Hashem. And I come to Shalashudis. And again, I'm sitting at Shalashudis with my friends. And all together, we're trying to find our Kadosh Baruch Hu. And we'll say, he writes, U'bechoshech atem yoshen. So we'll say, by many of the Chassidim, so Shalashudis is in the dark. Shalashudis is done in the dark. Now, why is Shalashudis done in the dark? He says, Minhagi Yisrael Torahim. It's a minhag Yisrael to do Shalashudis in the dark. Ki mas imim heim es pu'ulas agof lematzav anefesh ba'osa asha. Because we'll say, by closing the lights with dark, well, not closing the lights, by having Shalashudis in darkness, what you do is you equate, you bring the body and the soul on the same level. We'll say, watch what the Piagetna says. Ki is choshech vi is choshech. Eitz Hashem Yisparach kasov. Yashas Choshech Sisro. He will say, you know, the closer you get to Hashem, it's going to sound strange when I first say it, but then it'll make sense. The closer you get to Hashem, he will say, the darker it is. Meaning what? He will say, if you look in the Chumash, so every single time the Ribono Shel Olam is described, what's always accompanying Hashem? An anan, a cloud. right? What does a cloud do? A cloud blocks visibility. It blocks visibility. It's almost as if the closer you come to Hashem, the less you see, which makes sense because the closer I come, the more I realize that what? I think that I know everything because I see everything, right? But the closer I come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I realize that I actually don't know most things in life. Even though I see it, I don't know it. You know, Rabbi Nachman has this beautiful idea. The Rebbe says, why is it that when we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, we close our eyes? The Rebbe says, sometimes because the only way to see clearly in life is to cover your eyes. So I say, sometimes the eyes deceive, right? And I think that what I see is true. I think that what I see is correct. And meanwhile, often the world is upside down. My gauge is misaligned. So the Rebbe says, you sit in Shalosh Shodes, because what happens in Shalosh Shodes? See, in the dark, the body can't do anything. So the body's not doing anything, the body can't act, and the neshama is also in the dark, because the closer it gets to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, the darker things become. Eitz Hashem is Baruch God. Ora mitiu, v'choshechu mina olam hazeh, lo olam v'lo divre olam nirem kvar, v'chevon shezeh me'ez le'ez, shalim shatim mischazek, misrachik mina olam hazeh, umiskariv ata psia achar psia, el bechinas rava derav, v'nitzona elyon, mocha v'lipcha, af v'choshe gufecha. So we'll say, I come to Shalosh Shodes, and now what's happened to Shalosh Shodes is like this equilibrium between body and soul. The body's in the dark. The soul is in the dark. I've spent almost 24 hours away from anything worldly or anything material, more right? Anything malachadik. And now again, suddenly I'm in this closest place to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Muchrach gam gufcha po mam shashavs b'choshech. Gam lipcha gam einecha lo yiru kvar olam v'divra olam v'fem. And I was like, when you sit in the dark, the body can't see the physical trappings of the world either. So the soul is in the dark because the soul has never been closer to Hashem. The body's in the dark because the body's removed from all of the physical things of Olam Hazeh. Everything is in the dark. Vashem mistater b'choshech. And who else is in the dark? Or what else is in the dark? The Ribono Shel Olam, right? Everything is in the dark. Everything in the dark. So the Rebbe goes on, he says, V'achar chipos u'bedika shebechol Hashab is bala arafel shashem lakim. So we'll say, so quite beautiful. And after an entire Shabbos, right? After an entire Shabbos of searching for Hashem, I come to Shalosh Shodes, and what's happened? I've found him. I've finally found the Ribono Shel Olam, ultimately who I have been looking for. The entire room of Shalosh Shodes, right? Everything is filled with the assembly of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yata dochech es atzmecha kol pamaya kedusha al kodesh hakadoshim. And again, mishtokik nafshcha. Let's do what he's describing over here. So I'm sitting in Shalosh Shodes in the dark, says the Rebbe, and the room is filled. Who is the room filled with? The room is filled with the entire assembly of the Ribono Shel Olam, the entire heavenly host. They call kol acheder mali mipamalya shamala. The entire room of Shalosh Shodes is filled with literally the throngs of malachim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yata dochek es atzmecha derech kol pamaya kedusha. And what's my job doing Shalosh Shodes? To push my way through the throngs of Malachim in order to get to the Holy of Holies. All I want, they both say, what's a successful Shalosh Shodes? I just want to push my way through the throngs and ultimately get myself to the Holy of Holies. Achastif of Alaypanu. So I say, right, the page that's not. For lo yadate ki tishar gam kein tamid ki as haisa nafshcha smecha simchas olamim. So I say, if I knew that I could sustain this experience forever, how happy would I be? Right? If I knew that I could stay in Shalosh Shodes, that I could create the Shalosh Shodes experience and remain within it my whole life, how happy I would be. Aval niskarta sheba od rega yadliku neros tavdil. I will say, but I know in Shalosh Shodes, what's going to happen another minute? What's going to happen? I will say, it's interesting. Sometimes it's, right, what's going to happen? The two saddest words of the entire Shabbos. What are those two saddest words of the entire Shabbos? V'hurachum. V'hurachum, right? V'hurachum. That's it, right? Once that V'hurachum starts, I will say, right, everything changes. It's in that moment, right? Everything fundamentally changes. We're going to make Havdalah. V'shuv tipoli mosachol. And again, I'm going to come back to the weekdays. V'nafshicha marlach. And I'm sad. Eich tipol, page 30. Minach choshech, shamayim, erpeli toar, v'lach choshech, lechoshech mitzrayim, chashchas hatzaros, tzaros, tzaros haguf, v'anefesh gam yachas. Well, so we'll have to stop over here for tonight. Sorry for tonight, and I'm leaving off. Well, actually, it's just one more line. He says, let me skip a little bit. Just well, the chosh mitzrayim, chashchas hatzaros, tzaros haguf, v'anefesh gam yachad. Tirad v'targish. So I have this incredible moment of elation, spiritual elation, of literally again, sadikim yoshem v'atarasem v'rashem v'nenem v'ziv ha'shchina. That's shalosh odis. And now I realize again, havdala v'hu rachum, and everything goes back to the way that it was. And there's a sadness. As shtehen atamargish, ato keitz hayomim, the keitz hayomim marom, keitzo shalak dusha, the keitz nemichu shalachol, hatre gavni shal chashucha ne'evokim ato b'cha, b'shalosh su'udos. So Rebbe says, listen to what, okay, this will really have to stop over here. The Rebbe says, you know what's happening during Shalosh Odis? There are two darknesses that are like fighting inside of me. What are the two darknesses? There's the darkness of Shalosh Odis. What's the darkness? The darkness of Shalosh Odis is the darkness of holiness, right? The darkness of the cloud, of the Anan, closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then there's the darkness of the weekdays. And they're both fighting inside of me during Shalosh Odis. So we'll stop over here for tonight. But again, so we haven't finished. I just want to point out, we haven't finished yet. But remember again, what is the Piagetzna highlighting for us, right? What are we trying to accomplish? We're just trying to accomplish, says the Piagetzna, is that in every single experience in life, there is dramatic emotion. I will say, by the way, let me just ask you, have you ever in your life heard Shalosh Odis described this way? Have you ever heard anything like this in your life? Ravid, Ravid, holy of holiness. We hear. Shalosh Odis is the holiest time of the year. It's like the Yichud room in the Chasen. We hear it. Have you ever heard someone describe the Kiddush of Shalosh Odis, the beautiful holy darkness of Shalosh Odis like this? And Abosai, this happens every single week. Every single week. Egg salad or no egg salad. Right? It happens every single week. And Abosai, so what's the chapar? What's the challenge? The challenge, says the Piagetzna, is we often just don't plug into it. We just don't plug into it. We're just not allowing ourselves to feel the full scope of the emotional experience. And Shalosh Odis, I will say, is just one example in life. There are hundreds, maybe even thousands of other examples of dynamic, emotional events that could fundamentally transform us as individuals if we allowed ourselves to feel it. And when we allow ourselves to feel things, we connect with the neshama, we connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and ultimately then we're able to understand the messages that are being dispatched to us. But if we remain aloof and detached from emotion, then we lose out on an entire dimension of existence. So we'll stop over for today. We're going to continue. We're going to finish off with Shalosh Odis and Meretz Hashem next week. Hosei Shkoyach. Meirev, Meirev. Shalosh Odis will never be the same.